Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
And this is the High Spot Podcast. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. The Jersey Wrecking Crew is here at WrestleCon with my tag team partner, Jeff Martin. Jeff, we have finally arrived. The WrestleMania weekend, everything here excited. The crowd walking around, getting autographs, meeting their greats, legends, current, future up and coming stars. But first and foremost, Jeff, are you feeling the buzz?
I'm feeling the buzz. I'm glad we actually found the booth that we're here at WrestleCon.
Yeah, it's first time we've been here, actually.
Very excited to be here, Brian. Just an amazing start to a WrestleMania weekend here. We got the Hall of Fame coming up. We also have NXT. We've got WrestleMania. So many things to talk about, man. So many things to dissect here on the High Spot Podcast and also here on the podcast movement. So, you know what? You asked me before how I feel. I'm ready to go, man.
All right, well, let's dive into it, Jeff. What's the one thing right now you're looking forward to the most? I mean, before we start breaking down the card, before we talk about TakeOver and all the events, especially Hall of Fame and things of that nature, and the night after Raw, which is the most exciting event of WrestleMania weekend, what are you looking forward to the most right now? I mean, we're in the pinnacle right now of Hall of Fame, NXT TakeOver. We've gone to Russell Pro. We've gone to a lot of the local promotions out there. What's the one thing you're looking forward to the most right now?
What I'm looking forward to is just in general how WrestleMania is going to shape up. You know, we already saw what the set's going to look like. It's got the roller coaster feel, but to me, it's just the anticipation and the feeling. And I'm just looking forward to, you know, just talking to the fans and seeing their reaction and just what they think WrestleMania is going to turn out to be. And, you know, a lot of people are wondering exactly the outcomes of some of the matches. Lots of matches here are up for grabs, up for, you know, to debate. So that's what we're going to do. But I think it's the anticipation is what I'm looking forward to the most from the fans.
When it comes down to the fact, Jeff, that we spoke about WrestleMania and, you eloquently pointed out all these things that we're looking forward to, this is the first time in a while that I've seen the card actually this long. Before, it was a number of matches, maybe 8, 9 at the most.
Yeah, you got 13 coming up.
That would extend to a long period of time. This is back in the days of, you know, we used to watch old school wrestling. You know, back when it was Coliseum Home Video.
Yeah, WrestleMania 5, you had a lot of matches.
15, 16 matches right now. Does the order and placement of these events and the card will make or break this pay-per-view, do you think?
Yeah, and you know what?
Because we both know Goldberg and Lesnar are probably going on
last. I feel bad is those matches that are on the pre-show and people are still coming in. And, you know, you want to, you know, show off the Cruiserweight division and you have that matchup, you know, towards the very, you know, beginning of the card where people are still filing in. So, you know, 13 matches. You got the pre-show starting, I think, at 5. So lots of wrestling there. But yeah, match placement is fine. We're sitting by the pool yesterday, and we're talking, hey, which one?
We're sitting by the pool,
having some drinks, and we're talking about which matchup is going to go first. And I'm thinking it's going to be Baron Corbin and Dean Ambrose. But then I just pictured panning into WrestleMania to start and all the ladders there for the triple threat ladder match for the tag team titles for the Raw one. So I think that one's going to open up. Placement, I don't know. You got a lot of matches here, a lot of big names. No one's injured, at least this year, knock on wood. So, you know, we're going to find out. But, yes,
yeah, placement. We're a few days away, so knock on wood.
Placement is key, but, you know, you got a lot of star-studded lineups. So, you know, we'll find out if it is indeed a breaker or not.
Yeah, I mean, I initially said the Cruiserweight title would start to kick off the show. Just a thought that you needed that type of show-stealer match to be right in the beginning to get the crowd into it. But you're probably right. Unfortunately, the ladder match might be an issue here. And I hate to say this because, you know, the tag team division has, you know, they have talent there and they have some depth. But it's only a shame they're going to use that as people are still going to be probably filing to Camping World Stadium to see this match happen and to start off that way. Let's jump right into it, Jeff. I mean, like I said before, prior to us talking about the placement, is Goldberg and Lesnar are most likely going to be on last.
Most likely. You have 13 matches because they're going to get due time this year.
Yes, it's all been built up to the fact that Lesnar is going to have this epic revenge on Bill Goldberg after Goldberg has dominated him since their time at WrestleMania 20. This being as it is, I'll ask you now, which we've dissected show after show, and now we're finally here on the cusp of WrestleMania. Was the Universal title that pivotal to have in this main event?
I think so. I think that for Goldberg to, you know, get to where he is at right now and have that dominance for Brock Lesnar needed to take something away that means a lot to Goldberg. I think it's going to be, he has to take the Universal title, so I think that it was very key. I just think a lot of people are going to debate me on that, saying, you know, that the title should mean more than two-part timers.
Yeah.
But I think that you needed this to add more importance to the match. Everything's on the line between Goldberg and Brock Lesnar.
All right, well, moving on to that. I mean, I would disagree with you, but moving on, I want to get your opinion on it. Let's go to the next title, the WWE Championship, which I thought might have been the focal point of what this WrestleMania should have been about. Me, it should have been AJ Styles and Bray Wyatt from the beginning, because Randy Orton, we've said it time and time again, gave up his opportunity, then somehow got it back, and now we have to deal with Shane and AJ, which we'll get to a little bit later. But for the WWE Championship match, we spoke about, I told you, is the Universal title necessary for Goldberg-Lesnar? In this storyline, which is going between Orton and Bray Wyatt, how pivotal is it now for a guy like Bray Wyatt, who finally got the title at Elimination Chamber? A lot of people might kind of not like it from the fact that John Cena won it, wore for a week to break the title, defeat AJ Styles, and now Bray Wyatt's the champion. Has this storyline, has everything they've done to this point of Orton joining the Wyatt family, has it lived up to the billing where you're anticipating this match, or does it have the making of being a classic in your mind?
Well, no, I think that they've done a good job. I think that...
See, I would disagree.
Well, disagree with me, buddy, yeah, man. That's why we're here. I mean, we just can't always get along here in Orlando, although we've been doing a lot of...
it's hard, dude. This weather, it's hard not to get along with
Florida.
You for 5 minutes.
But to be honest with you, I think they've done a good job. They haven't touched. They haven't... You know, you haven't seen any, you know, physical interaction. I think it's fresh. I think the match between them is going to be very good. How many people are interested in it, I don't know. But I think when you get both of these guys in the ring and they... And there's been no physicality yet, I think it adds to it being something different and something special at WrestleMania.
See, I thought the fact that they emphasized the storyline and creating this type of paranormal battle going on between Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, the whole Sister Abigail thing, which I never really fully understood how that took Bray Wyatt's powers away. I feel the build-up to this match has kind of been subpar in my mind. I think they depended too much on the paranormal to sell this. Because the first time, in my opinion, Jeff, when I saw Bray and Randy Orton, I didn't see dollar signs here. I didn't think, wow, this is going to be great. Bray Wyatt, AJ, I thought that was going to be a good match.
But give WWE credit for sticking to a storyline and having it prolonged. We always complain that there's no prolonged storylines. They are very short and they end right away. So give them the credit for this, though. They've stuck with the storyline. Yes, they've added Luke Harper in and out sometimes, but they stuck to this matchup.
Yeah, where's he now?
Basically. Well, he lost to Bray Wyatt on SmackDown. So, but
poor,
you know,
Luke Harper.
Give him credit for sticking to a storyline, you know, longer than a month and a half. So, give him credit for that. And
I don't want to.
How about the matchup that? Well, I don't know how forward you're looking to the last couple of weeks with Shane McMahon on the mic, but AJ Styles, Shane McMahon, a lot of debate whether AJ Styles should be wrestling for the championship at WrestleMania. He gets Shane McMahon, Bri. I talked to you about this on our previous shows. Is it a step down for a guy that who should be headlining and having dream matches here in the WWE with a career that, you know, he's 37, 38, so you want to see him have those stellar matches. Is it a step down for him to take on Shane McMahon at WrestleMania on Sunday night?
Well, first of all, I think he's 39, and in my opinion, yes, it is a step down. And the reason why I say that is, you know, AJ's been on, and he's made it publicly known that he doesn't consider it a step down. For us diehard fans, we have seen AJ Styles' career, everything he's done in TNA, the stuff of how he reinvented himself and made himself such a more household name in New Japan and coming to the WWE. You're right, Jeff. He doesn't have a lot more miles left on the tires in creating that pun there. Because AJ Styles, to me, deserves to be in main event matches. He deserves to defend the title. I even spoke to you before when he won it. I thought he should have carried it to WrestleMania and dropped it to somebody else who was a new and up-and-comer. Maybe a Dolph Ziggler at the time, but you know, nowadays Dolph Ziggler is kind of in purgatory. But yes, I feel it's a waste of his time. But that being
said, who should he be fighting right now?
Like I mentioned before, I wanted him to go up against Bray Wyatt. I wanted him to go for the title. I would have enjoyed seeing AJ Styles and John Cena. And I know I'm throwing John Cena in there, but I've enjoyed seeing that. And then I would have been okay if John Cena broke the record or tied the record that time, became a 16-time world champion. To me, that would have been more historic for moments that ask for WrestleMania to be WrestleMania moments.
And
that
we're here
been more
at WrestleCon Podcast Movement. Is getting invaded by the Jersey Wrecking Crew here on the High Spot Podcast.
Orlando's getting invaded by the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
And just an amazing just sight here, seeing all the legends and current wrestlers here. We just saw Adam Cole, baby. Just watching the fans here interact is going to be something amazing. You talk about John Cena, Brian. John Cena and Nikki Bella take on Maryse and The Miz. At first, like I said before, I wasn't into this match, but they've gotten personal, and it's been heated, and it's been real, and that's what SmackDown does really well. tell me your thoughts on this matchup. Do you see, first of all, who wins, and does John Cena propose to Nikki Bella? I think that's what people care mostly about.
Yes, exactly. They care most about that, because here's the thing. SmackDown Live has basically mentioned that storylines are so much more important because they become more personal. This whole rivalry, which started with, you know, John Cena and The Miz, and they've brought in their supposed to be others in there. I think it works, but I think everybody's building up to that moment, Jeff. It's building up to the moment where, you know, Miz is going to lose. Again, he's going to be destroyed by John Cena, whether it be verbally on the mic or in the ring. It's going to be utter chaos in terms of wanting The Miz, which has done a lot of great work leading up to this, to be, put himself back in that main event type of situation. But you're right. Everybody's building up towards it. I think we're going to see it. And it's going to be one of those moments equivalent to, you know, Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. You know, right now, John Cena and Nikki Bella are the it couple, and they're going to be taking time off. So what better way to take time off from the WWE than say, hey, we're playing a wedding?
Yeah, and so as far as I'm concerned, I think...
And you who watch Total Divas were probably
And we had Grant Matthews on last week, and we're talking about, you know, we're talking about how Maurice could buy a house
behind... So you're invested. Both
the,
of you guys are invested in this storyline.
No, I'm looking forward to it, man. It gets real, it gets personal, and that's what we like. We like reality here. We yeah. like to see this. And I think the right way to go is, since John Cena is going to take some time off after this, is I want to see The Miz get a victory here, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think John Cena... I think Nikki... beats Maurice so that The Miz doesn't look bad, but I think at the end of the night, does John Cena propose to Nikki Bella?
Here's the thing. Does the proposal mean more if both Nikki and John win this match, or if they do lose and say Maurice ends up pinning Nikki Bella and she's embarrassed and feels bad that she lost it for her man, does John Cena propose? What makes more
I would impact? Go old school Elizabeth Macho Man, where something happens where he's picking up Nikki Bella after she takes the loss. Yeah. And then he gets down on his knee and still says, I love you. And then he gets down on his knees. Like Roddy Piper says, get down on your knees.
Yeah.
And
Nikki.
Yeah. And then he Nikki. Says, just, Nicole, will you please do me the honor
of signing this document first?
Sign this document first. Okay.
Because it's an insurance clause for the engagement.
My lawyers have looked it over. And will you do me the honor, Nicole, and marry me, please? How perfect is that?
Yes. Oh, my God. My ears are tearing up right now.
You want to marry me right now?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
A match that I think we should start off with, which is the one we're looking forward to, is Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, Y2J. We had so much fun.
We had to get the other stuff out of the way, though.
Yeah, we had so much fun with the Festival of Friendship. I was devastated. It was real to me, damn it. Your thoughts on this match for the United States Championship, Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens?
You know, I'll never forget your reaction for the Festival of Friendship and what happened. Because you said it to me when it occurred, when Kevin Owens betrayed Chris Jericho, you weren't expecting it. And that is the pinnacle of what Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens offer to you. I mean, we talked about SmackDown Live having great storylines, Jeff, and how they have the ability of kind of drawing you in. Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens did that. I would have liked it to be for the Universal title, but again, it's not going to happen. It's for the United States Championship. To me, this just, and I kiss Chris Jericho's ass every chance I get, but the mere fact that Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens bring back some old school, where they prolong this. We knew this was happening. It was building. They even had little hints that might have been happening and then twisted on the audience and said, you know, we're not breaking up. So to me, this storyline, as long as it's gone, was great. I never wanted to see it end, but to me, this is the one I'm looking forward to the most because there's so much history behind it. And still, despite how old Chris Jericho is, he still has the ability of having a show-stealing match with Kevin Owens. And both of them right now, or especially Kevin Owens, is in a situation now after this rivalry. Who knows what's left for Kevin Owens, but it's going to be a good side for him because he'll walk out the United States champion.
And I got to tell you here, the atmosphere of WrestleCon is amazing. Here I see Colt Cabana, and I'm waving, and I'm breaking the fourth wall, and I see the Honky Tonk Man over here, Bushwhacker Luke. It's amazing, just awesome here. Podcast Movement WrestleCon in Orlando, Florida, Brian. How about this? How about a matchup that we don't know how we feel about because a lot of people are going to boo Roman Reigns regardless against The Undertaker. There's no way I think that you can make The Undertaker, you can make Roman Reigns the good guy here. No one's going to cheer him, especially if he beats down The Undertaker in this matchup. Very tough. They're going to go face with Roman Reigns, but you got to believe at the end of the day, Roman Reigns is going to put another loss, another L, in The Undertaker's win-loss column.
Which begs the question, was losing the streak to Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30 worth it?
I don't think you can plan ahead. I didn't think that it was going to lead up to this. I thought that the debate is you want the young guy to take that.
No, of course. So, but you and I would go back and forth that if Undertaker was going to retire,
yep,
that was the perfect time, because I would say to you, he seemed like this lost soul that needed to be beaten in order to walk away. And now the question is, we saw him at the Royal Rumble, and I'll be the first to say he wasn't in the best shape. We've only seen him in his trench coat and his cowboy hat on. And to me, I'm not expecting a five-star match from here. I mean, if he was going up against AJ Styles, AJ Styles would do all the work and would make Undertaker look like $1 million. Right now, the question is for me, how much more does the Undertaker want to do?
Yeah, there's only one match I wanted to see, Brian, and that was Undertaker Sting. Other than that, I mean, you're right. You can't look at it, 3 years later and be like, wow, it should have been Roman Reigns. But again,
to answer your question, yeah, it's most likely Roman Reigns is going to defeat the Undertaker. Possibly maybe send him into retirement. But right now, if you're the WWE, knowing the heat that Roman Reigns has doesn't concern me. You know why? Because they're stubborn enough to do the same thing to John Cena, who's a very polarizing figure. They're going to go face all the way despite what it's going to be. But you couldn't have picked a worse opponent for Roman, because he's going to be booed out of the building because the Undertaker is such a beloved figure in WWE history.
And, you talk about someone that's kind of we're going to talk about Braun Strowman, because here's a guy who, for at least a month ago was in the picture to be in a big high-profile match, but now he's in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and which is going to be on the pre-show. I don't know if he's fallen, but I think he's the clear-cut choice to me to be the winner of this year's Battle Royal. I just can't say Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal anymore because it's just too time-consuming.
Yeah, it's a tongue twister, definitely, Jeff. But again, you're saying it should be a different for Braun Strowman, but we've been fooled before. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which I finally said it without stuttering, is supposed to be something that's supposed to bring up the new and up-and-coming star. Hasn't really done that. I mean, maybe you can say the exception is Baron Corbin right now because he's going up against Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental Championship. Despite that, though, this should be something built up even more. In my opinion, it doesn't belong in a pre-show. It should be part of the main card if you want to give it that type of importance. But, of course, Braun Strowman, it's a no-brainer. But you know what? The WWE has fooled us before, and I have a feeling they're going to fool us again. They're going to tease us, and they're going to go and swerve the other way. Braun Strowman deserves to win it because right now he has the most momentum, even despite losing to Roman Reigns.
And
which should have never happened, by the way.
Exactly, right? In a fast lane, the Jordan.
Exactly.
Jordan fiasco?
The Jordan shoes fiasco.
Triple H, Seth Rollins coming up. Oh, look, Axe and Smash, their demolition. Look at that. Fanboying here at WrestleCon.
It's hard not to break the fourth wall because as we're looking out, we're seeing all the talent that we've seen, as we grow up as kids, and all the future talent all here provided by WrestleCon.
Triple H, Seth Rollins. I'm very, very much looking forward to this matchup. I just don't know how legit Seth Rollins' injury is. Hearing that he's been kind of in a not feeling 100%, has a fever or cold coming into WrestleMania. Boy, he's just jinxed at WrestleMania the last few years. I think the build-up's been great. Of course it is, because Triple H is in the storyline. Your thoughts, Triple H, Seth Rollins, and could we see outside interference? No holds barred match.
So many things to talk about in this particular match, Jeff. Right now, unfortunately, Seth Rollins, the guy can't catch a break, whether it be injury or now re-injuring his knee, the same knee he injured before, missing the Dallas WrestleMania, and dealing with not feeling so well and being under the weather. That's the last thing you want to do going to an event like this. You're right, Jeff. Triple H has saved this storyline despite the injury. I would have preferred these two at 100%, especially Seth. But despite all that, Jeff, I beg to differ with you here. You know why? Because I don't expect this to be a very good match, regardless of it. Outside interference, maybe we'll see Samoa Joe.
This has like the Sting match written all over it with all the outside interference.
Possibly, and you're probably going to need that because I don't think Seth Rollins is going to be able to do everything he normally does in the ring, and that takes away from the quality of the match. But here's the thing. They did the same type of great storyline building for Roman Reigns and Dallas. And what happened? That match with Roman Reigns, who's supposed to be this great wrestler, could work great with anybody, right? And it was a snooze fest. People were yawning. People were booing. I mean, they were going to walk out because they paid good money for their ticket, but they weren't happy with it, and it wasn't a great main event. If this match is not going to be a main event, but the fact, I don't think it's going to live up to the billing of how Triple H is building up the storyline. So I'm expecting a disappointment.
And where do you think the Destroyer Samoa Joe fits into this? Because he's been absent on the card. Do you think Samoa Joe, this being his first WrestleMania, he's not on it. Do you think he has an integral part in this matchup or some other match?
It's a shame that Samoa Joe isn't part of this card. And if we do see him, it'll most likely be outside interference. Will he get involved in the Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, which you've seen before, that maybe Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe and Triple H might form this new faction and this new form of the authority? Or will Samoa Joe interfere in the match we all think is going to interfere in, which is a non-sanctioned match between Triple H and Seth Rollins? I don't know, but I think it's not fair for Samoa Joe. First of all, I think he's going to interfere in the Triple H-Seth Rollins match, but it's not fair for a guy of the quality and talent of Samoa Joe not to be put on the card, regardless of the fact that Seth Rollins got injured. You know, I would have loved to see Finn Balor, too, and he's not part of this card either, and he's good to go. He's done house
shows. Cleared. He's ready to go.
He's cleared. Why not pit these two together? Who cares if it's last minute? People know the storyline. People know the history between these two. Why can't you give me one match between Finn Balor and Samoa Joe, Finn trying to get some revenge at WrestleMania?
And there's our boy Nick Mayberry, who's been a guest on the show here, making the rounds here at WrestleCon, getting the autographs. Big wrestling fan, huge friend to the show.
Oh, yes.
We look forward to hanging out with him maybe after
Saturday.
NXT TakeOver with Fritzy there,
yes,
at one of the restaurants across the street from the Amway Center. All right, Bri, lots of talk about the Alexa Bliss Invitational, I'm going to call it. On the pre-show, then it's not, then it might be back on the pre-show.
You know, I'm glad it's not on the pre-show, because I spoke to you before. That's an insult to all the work Alexa Bliss, despite the fact that some management and people in the back don't like her in-ring work. What she's done on the mic and how she's carried that title deserves to be on the main card.
And you know, we're going to get divas of past that are going to show up, too, because we're going to get some surprises. You know, Kelly might show up. Candice Michelle. Who knows? Maybe Melina. I think I would mark out if Melina showed up. So it's going to be interesting.
We saw her here. She's
Naomi.
Here.
I think Naomi is going to come out of Orlando as the women's champion, actually.
Yes, I don't know if you're a huge fan of that. I mean, you weren't
really
a big fan of it going in. She got injured. I don't know to what extent she had injured her knee. Nobody really came out and publicized it. But, yeah, she is back. And I think right now with the WWE, the route they were going for, Jeff, was to be a storyline or a storybook ending for Naomi. And I think it's going to happen, despite with all the people returning and all the people competing. I think at the end it will be Alexa Bliss and Naomi. And you have to have Naomi pin Alexa Bliss and beat her, because that's the only way she gets vindication for everything Alexa Bliss has been making fun of her, you know, insulting her family and things of that nature. It has to happen that way. How much of a fan reaction is going to get? I think Naomi lost a lot of momentum she had gained since winning that title, so I don't know what the reaction is going to be. But I'm happy that this Alexa Bliss Invitational is now going to be part of the main card, because it doesn't deserve to be on the pre-show.
Yeah, we'll see. Vince could change his mind and could go back to the pre-show. You don't know. They got to fill 2 hours at the pre-show. WrestleMania starts at special start time at 7 p.m. on the WWE Network.
Why is it called the pre-show? Why can't they call it Countdown to WrestleMania?
I guess it's just shorter, you know? And that's why the hashtag for Under the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is like ATMOB, you know what I mean?
Because but if you look at sporting events, we don't watch the pre-games. Because we don't. We want to see the actual events. So when you call it a pre-show, people are like, I don't want to see it.
Talk about a pre-show match, though. How about this one? 205 Live showcased at WrestleMania. Neville, the Cruiserweight champion, against...
No, Jeff. It's the king of the Cruiserweights.
Well, you said it better than I could, against Austin Aries.
Still pretty bad.
Neville teased that this was going to be a short match. I really hope that they give these guys time, especially on the pre-show. I hope they have a good match. I'm not asking for a 15-20-minute match, but I'm just asking, you know, something competitive. I think I'm leaning towards Austin Aries winning the title, but I don't want to see, this be a short, quick match and just a burial of Neville. He's worked so hard. He's done a good job.
No, yeah, of course. No question. He's done an amazing job reinventing himself and, for God's sake, giving the opportunity to take the Cruiserweight division, which, after the Cruiserweight Classic, was not doing very well and still struggling to an extent. I'm with you, Jeff. I don't want it to be a short match. I said it from the beginning when this match was announced. I was like, wow, Austin Aries, Adrian Neville, my butt is going to be glued to the seat watching it, because you know what? This has the potential, when it was signed up, to be a WrestleMania show stealer. And I really still think it does. And to me, Jeff, this is so pivotal for the Cruiserweight division. The fact that if they're not given the ample time to do it, I think it's a complete insult. And for me, if that happens, Jeff, there's no hope for the Cruiserweight division. 205 Live, whatever you want to call it, there's no hope. This match needs to be given 20, 25, 30 minutes. You know what? They have a four-hour show. Give them some time. I mean, you know Lesnar and Goldberg are going to go last. Give them some time, because you know what? Austin Aries and everything he's done in his career to get to this point, WrestleMania, his first, and Neville, they both deserve the time.
I don't need to see 30 minutes of video packages and highlights. I want to see.
You've seen enough of that.
Exactly. And I'm going to fanboy right now as Adam Cole walks by here. Baby, I'm just telling you, was a recent guest on the Steve Austin podcast. So I'm just marking out here. I'm sorry, bro. I'm paying attention, but
it's hard
one
not
eye
to.
Is,
like
one
I said,
eye is on
I
you. One
understand.
Eye is right here.
Well, please don't look at me because I want to look at you.
Corbin and Ambrose for the Intercontinental title. I debated this match might open the show. Your thoughts on this match between Corbin and Ambrose?
You know, though I haven't followed it as much on SmackDown Live because they kind of kept it on the side, I think this is a great way for Baron Corbin, who I've never really been a believer of. I mean, I think he's tough. He's come from the NFL, but I'm not a believer in terms of his character. To pit him against a guy with Dean Ambrose, who is established, who you and I have gone back and forth, doesn't need a title to make himself a known commodity or make himself important. I think right now, this unfortunately falls into the realms, Jeff, where I think they're going to use the Intercontinental Championship to make Baron Corbin more important. I think he's doing a good job, and I'll give credit where credit is due. Since the beginning, when he moved over to SmackDown Live, he's kind of getting lost in the shuffle, but doing Talking Smack has definitely opened up a channel of personality for Baron Corbin for me. So to me, this is great. I just don't want them to reward him the Intercontinental Championship, which is something The Miz did a great job of bringing back to, bringing back to prestige. I don't want that to be wasted on something because I don't think Baron Corbin yet is ready to hold on to a major title. He still needs to show me more being a guy who can dominate and beat up everybody before he gets the major title. But the same case, Dean Ambrose doesn't really need it either, so most likely that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, the Intercontinental title seems to always be a victim. It just can't ever become what it used to be. So, you know, I think that, again, they're going to give it on to Corbin. I think he's an up-and-comer. Is he ready yet? That's the main question. We'll find out Sunday at WrestleMania. Two more matches before we wrap up, but a couple of topics before we move ahead. Hardy Boys, the Hardys, Broken, Matt Hardy, Brother Nero, Jeff Hardy. It's all but done. WWE is in their future. Could you see them kind of maybe interrupt the New Day as they host this year's WrestleMania?
I could see it happen. Will it? I'm giving my hopes up too much for that. But it would be a great, quote-unquote, WrestleMania moment to see it. Here's the thing, Jeff. You and I, we love the Broken Matt Hardy gimmick. We give kudos to Matt Hardy and Jeff for obviously reinventing themselves. They're not the Hardy Boys anymore, the Hardys. They're who they are, Brother Nero and Broken Matt Hardy. I don't know, though, with the freedom that Matt Hardy and Jeff had with creative during their time in TNA, which is now Impact, and what they've done in Ring of Honor, it's great, but I don't know if they'll have that same freedom or ability to go and test that line or get close to crossing it in a WWE environment. I mean, most people, what I would say, the frustration that most talent have when they're here, whether they come from other promotions or they've been built up, is, you know, they're not allowed to be themselves. As much as, you know, Triple H and Vince and Stephanie and everybody says, you know, we want them to be themselves, there's always that line where, like, listen, you can't do this because who's got the final call? Vince. And if Vince doesn't understand it, then it's not going to go anywhere. And I just don't want something like that, which has been so pure and so
different. Original.
Yeah, to be skewed. Because it doesn't make any sense to do it.
Brian Cage
Brian
rocking
Cage,
around.
Yes,
he had a
walking
great
around.
Matchup with Cody Rhodes.
How could
last
you miss Brian Cage?
How fun was WrestlePro last night, man? Just to see Dave Destruction, Pat Buck, Ryback, Colt Cabana. I mean, just a great list of wrestlers that were there last night. I had fun, man. I had a lot of fun watching the matches there. How impressed are you with how far WrestlePro has evolved?
Well, here's the thing.
No pun with evolved either.
Exactly, right? No, I would love to say I'm surprised, but look, we've met Pat Buck a little bit. We've spoken to him a little. He's always running around because he's obviously promoting and you know, dotting
promoting,
I's, crossing
selling,
T's, selling
water, wrestling,
doing everything.
The
so for me, just seeing that, Jeff, it makes me think Russell Pro is going to be doing really, really well because you see the dedication like a guy Pat has. You see the dedication our buddy Dave Destruction has when he's commentating. And you see the talent there. You know, it's, I wouldn't say it's possible. It's a matter of time before Russell Pro kind of makes himself even more known out there. And we just love talking about it because, like I said, the show was great. The talent was great. Seeing Cody Rhodes, Brian Cage, who walked by. And, you know, the match that stole the night to me was
Joey Ryan
and Randy Rhodes. I mean, to me, that just shows you, for a guy like Joey Ryan, his psychology in the ring and how that character just works. So I think Russell Pro right now, I'm excited for us to be talking about it. I'm excited to have some type of association with them, and I can't wait to see what the future holds for them, because to me, the future is really bright.
And you're listening to the Jersey Wrecking Crew again, taking over Orlando here at WrestleCon.
The High Spot Podcast has come to WrestleCon, Jeff.
And follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. You know, up-and-coming podcast here, I truly believe in the future will be one of the top ones in the wrestling business here. And before we wrap up, we've got two more matches here. It is going to be Goldberg. Not Goldberg, I'm sorry. Gallows and Anderson defending their tag team
titles.
Well,
they're both bald, so yeah.
Against too many bald guys. Against Cesaro, Sheamus, and of course Enzo and Big Cass. Triple threat match, ladder match. Your thoughts on this one? I think they needed the ladder match, you think?
You know what? I understand why they needed the ladder match. I think we've seen too many triple threat matches, so they wanted to add something to it. I mean, I think somebody posted on Twitter or Facebook, whatever you're mentioning to me, like, how can you have a ladder match without the Hardys, right?
It's yeah. Like, ooh.
They made it famous, didn't they? But when it comes to this, here's the thing. And you know how much I love tag team wrestling. I'm an old school guy at heart. I feel you build up stars more through tag team wrestling, because there you can see who is the next person to take that next step in singles competition. But when it comes to this, listen, I'm so happy for Gallows and Anderson. Everything they've done, they deserve to be champions. To me, it's just bittersweet. You know why? Because all the momentum they had, and you had mentioned it several times before, when they came to the WWE from New Japan, this should have been done sooner. They should have been a dominant team to begin with and more known. You know, it's great to see Cesaro and Sheamus do something, and, you know, to see you know, Enzo and Big Cass. I've said I think the workings of this team might separate right now, because if they don't win this, then how much can Big Cass say, you know, Enzo, you do a lot of talking, but you don't back it up. And I think Big Cass is feeling right now, from what I could tell storyline-wise, that he's carrying the load too much for this team. So to me, I think Gallows and Anderson will be victorious. If they don't, you know what? They're still going to be selling a lot of T-shirts, so they deserve to win this match. And, you know, hopefully the WWE does it right by them and makes this tag team division more important, because right now there's really nothing there to work with, and it's not fair for talents like Gallen Anderson not to have people to work with.
Here's my question to you, and here's my statement, actually.
Sure.
Who wins this match? Have marketing get back to me and show me the T-shirt sales. And as long as Gallows and Anderson are selling those T-shirts, they're going to be the tag team
so
champions.
So if you're Gallows and Anderson, you just take the piece of paper and, like, look, that's how much shirts we sold.
No, they don't have to demand. They'll look at it. I think WWE will look at it, and they'll be like, yep, nope, they're still selling out these T-shirts. And dude, how crazy was WrestleMania Superstore yesterday?
It was ridiculous. We were online, which seemed like we were going to access, but no, it was just for the store. And as soon as we walked in, I had mentioned to you before, guys, when we walked in, like, they had security, and they had shirts out there. Like, the new AJ Styles shirt was gone in less than a minute. That's how much over AJ Styles is. It was a complete and utter train wreck.
Oh, John Cena's dad just walking by too. Maybe he'll maybe he knows something that we don't.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe he's getting ready for his son to walk down the aisle. Who knows? But or maybe he's got the ring in his pocket. Who knows? Maybe he's got that, you know, maybe you bump into him and see. But yeah,
are you done with your shopping?
I'm done with my shopping. You know, I'm set to go. You know, I say that now, but you know, you and I are always last minute shoppers too, so we'll probably walk in and maybe find something else. But, you know, stuff goes by fast. As soon as you're there on the second or third day, there is barely nothing there.
Don't give it a second thought.
Don't give it a second thought.
Buy it.
Because that's why everybody was there on Thursday.
Because that happens to me. I'm like, all right, Sunday, I'll... Nope, it's gone. So make sure you get your stuff early on as the Superstore is open, because you're not going to find the size that you want.
So, Jeff, real quick, I mean, you mentioned we kind of went down the card of WrestleMania. Real quick, NXT TakeOver. Do you think Bobby Roode and Shinsuke Nakamura are going to do another classic as it did last time?
Yeah, I think Bobby Roode walks out the champion again. I don't see the reason to give the title back to Nakamura, mm-hmm. because you want a prolonged run. Hey, Nakamura, he might get called up pretty soon. We don't know. He's there maybe to at least June, so I don't know, you know, how impressive it is to win it again, but maybe Bobby Roode chasing it again will be something that NXT wants to do in the direction they want to do. But I think that Bobby Roode will walk away the champion. But real quick, Brian, before we go to NXT and wrap up with the show here, High Spot Podcast in Orlando at WrestleCon for the podcast movement, the women's title match is on the line. Nia Jax, Bayley, Charlotte Flair, and Sasha Banks. your thoughts on this matchup. Has it been promoted well? Who do you think is going to walk out the champion?
Promotion-wise, I think it's been a sense of confusion. I think it's basically creative plugging up holes. If Bayley was going to win, to me it would have made more sense to win it in her second town, her second hometown, Orlando, to beat Charlotte. You know how I feel about four-way matches, triple-threat matches. I think they have their place, but sometimes they can be overused. In this case, I think it's being overused. They had no place for Nia Jax. I think they're trying to build up a heel turn for Sasha Banks. Right now, what I have going out, I have Charlotte walking out as the WWE Raw Women's Champion. That's what I have. But in terms of storyline, how it's been built up, I think it's kind of people just kind of fitting in and plugging in things and them really not knowing what they want. But what I do want is I want Charlotte walking out as Women's Champion again.
So there you have it, your WrestleMania preview. We, you know, NXT, listen, it's great talent, but the big one is Nakamura and Bobby Roode again. I think Nakamura is going to dazzle the crowd, but I think Bobby Roode will walk away with the championship.
Do you think their card has a chance to challenge the main roster?
Not this year.
Dallas, yes, but this one, maybe not.
I think if you're looking for something, a repeat of Dallas, it's going to come up short. But I will promise you this, for everyone that's trashing right now NXT, not trashing, but want to be their tough critics, I say give it a few months, because right now they're in a rebuilding phase, a trying to replenish the talent. Listen, when you get call-ups, and there's going to be call-ups after WrestleMania on Monday night, there's going to be call-ups. Wait. Give it May, June, because there's going to be some talent that I know, Brian, you're talking about, you know, that you maybe were not in favor of, but guys like Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly.
You're just saying Adam Cole because you saw him walk by.
And who's made it clear that he wouldn't mind being in NXT because he wants to learn that aspect before he gets to the main roster.
Yeah.
So, which I think is great. I think it's great not to be negative on going up to going to NXT. I think that give it a few months, they got to replenish. And I think Triple H's main goal, he's been tossed back and forth. And I think he needs to, you know, get back and focus on NXT a little bit more. But I think in a few months, NXT will get back to where it is as the people's brand. You know, mark my words.
Mark his words. Oh, man, like I said, a lot of excitement, plus Hall of Fame, looking forward to that and paying the respects to a guy like Ravishing Rick Rude, Kurt Angle, Beth Phoenix, list goes on DDP, the Rock and Roll
Express,
you know, Theodore Long, you know, list goes on and on. If I missed one, I apologize.
Is there somebody in Celebrity Wing this year?
I didn't see one in the Celebrity
Eric Wing. LeGrand will be inducted. They got the Warrior
Award. Warrior Award, exactly. We know his story very well since we are from
Jersey.
Metropolitan area, so that'll be great to see as well. All that piled in together, WrestleMania weekend, WrestlePro, WrestleCon, Access, which we'll be a part of as well. You know, like I said, we brought the High Spot podcast to Orlando, and we told everybody that was going to happen, and now it's finally here. So it's bittersweet that it's almost over, Jeff, but at the same time, I'm enjoying the ride along the way, as I'm sure you are as well.
We're gonna enjoy this, savor it. We got here since Tuesday, been enjoying the weather, been enjoying the atmosphere here at WrestleCon. Podcast movement, we thank you for allowing us to put our show out there here at WrestleCon, so we're happy for that. And it's coming, man, to the Hall of Fame, like you said. Looking forward to everything here. Going to make the rounds here, look around here at WrestleCon. Just saw our buddy Mike Johnson walk around here. We met him yesterday. So, hey, enjoy it. It only happens one time a year, WrestleMania weekend, and the High Spot Podcast is here.
And that goes by way too fast. So, like you're right, Jeff, enjoy it. So, for the Jersey Wrecking Crew, we say thank you, WrestleCon. Thank you, Podcast Movement. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast for all the latest news and episodes as the Jersey Wrecking Crew can only bring you. So, Jeff, there's only one thing to close here. After WrestleCon, after Access, after WrestleMania weekends all over, life's just going to be
too sweet.